Got it. I got it. It should be good now. Yeah, that should be coming through. This is live TV, folks. Doug Diamond, our producer, is on the phone with me. And I think that should be good.
Okay, cool. We're good. Thanks.
Good. Thanks. Okay, so now I know you can see and hear me. Just to get the stream going, I had to load the program 3 times, and each time it would wipe out all my presets. So I have to rebuild all my sets as we go. At any rate, Kathleen will be joining us momentarily, as we always do on Sundays. I apologize for turning off the chat room. We had a few people in chat, and we sort of summarily just ended the chat room. The reason is it gives us an opportunity, Kathleen and myself, to focus on the message that the two of us want to present. And if she's having to take a look at the chat room, or the chat room is just kind of, you know, there and a distraction, it's very difficult for both of us to maintain some continuity of thought in the presentation. Thank you, everyone, for your patience with registering for Subscribestar and Band, and also for accessing the archives at anthonypatch.com. Again, just to kind of review that a little bit, we sent out some instructions at about 6 o'clock this evening, a 4-step process for people that are new, that are just joining through Subscribestar. But it also applies to those that are already on Subscribestar, already on Band. And how it applies is this. You're a subscriber, and you also have Band messaging for our communication. And then in order to watch the live streams later, the recorded versions, you would need to go to anthonypatch.com, go to the Subscribestar Elect tab, open the drop-down menu, and go to Archives. You utilize, when you click on Archives, utilize the username and password that Doug has provided to you for the archives. In some cases, for former patrons, if you still have your username and password for the archives, back when we used to call it the patrons' archives, that should still be working. If your username and password is not working, there is a place on the drop-down menu where you can request your username and password to be reset, and that goes directly to Doug. And then Doug will send you a new username and password. So access to, you know, our exclusive material begins with Subscribestar, and then with Band, and then with anthonypatch.com, the archives. So everything is recorded for the live streams and placed in the archives. We post, as you know, papers and articles and previous webinars and Entangled Magazine, all in there as your exclusive content on Subscribestar. The reason we're on Subscribestar, as you all know, but just for new subscribers that are coming in the future days and listening to this, it is because Patreon, without any warning, canceled our account. So Doug has been doing yeoman's work this past 10 days, trying to get all of this up to speed, and he's still working 24/7, basically, because he has to handle each individual subscriber personally, individually. There's no automated system. Subscribestar is not set up for that. Same thing with Band. He needs to send you an authorization for you to enter the private group on Band. Most of you already know this, but this is for new people that will listen to this later on. And again, new people listening to it later on, the recordings are in the archives, okay? And the archives are accessed by way of the username and password that Doug sends to you, that he supplies to you. The only thing that happens with Subscribestar is that that is your place to register as a member, okay? It does have a message board, and we do pay attention to the message board within Subscribestar. But our primary place of communication is through Band. So again, we sent out through Band and also through MailChimp, we sent out our list of instructions that Doug and Kathleen and myself put together to try to simplify the process. And as Kathleen has said many times, we're working within the BEAST system. So it's very difficult for us to just have one button, one link, and everything happens. We're having to do all these workarounds because of all the roadblocks that we keep encountering. And today is no exception. Kathleen's with us now and turn a light on for us. And kind of explain the instructions and everything for everybody.
Yeah. I think we probably, in hindsight, should have had something like that. We were kind of explaining, thank you. We were kind of explaining
as we went
and as we added, you know, when we added Band and stuff like that. So we probably should have done this in the beginning.
But let's go back in history just a little bit. Because the day that I was discharged from the hospital, and this isn't, you know, let's play the violin and feel sorry for Anthony Patch. It's not that at all. Okay, let me see if I can move this camera. Sorry, guys. This is just one of those days. Okay, let's see if I can make this look a little better for everybody. Where are you? I have to get you in frame. There, that's better. Okay, now you can see both of us.
Okay.
So, just, most of you know that I was hospitalized for 2.5 days. I came home, and within an hour of arrival at home, we received notice from Patreon that they had canceled our account. We already had signed up for Subscribestar. Doug had already set all that up. Then it was just a matter of trying to scramble and get everyone through the registration processes. So this has been one thing after another on top of another. And again, I'm not trying to cry, you know, poor or sympathy or any of that. I'm just letting everybody know that we would have had instructions if this was a
planned move,
something we initiated, something that we forewarned you we were going to make the move. We had it ready in the background as far as we could take it. The next step was obviously people registering.
And it was a backup.
It was just a backup.
Subscribestar was to just be a backup to Patreon, and then Patreon happened. What we expected happened. So.
Yeah. So all the finer details about registration we kind of learned as we went. Meanwhile, basically, I'm home, flat on my back, most of the time, and then a little bit of time on the computer that I'm able to manage. And things are getting better. So this has been the last week or so very interesting.
Challenging.
So we do have some notes prepared for tonight.
We do.
I'd love to get into our message for this evening.
Do you
want to
read scripture?
Yeah, let me put up our scripture for tonight. Put our graphics up. Thank you, Lord, for getting the stream working. Thank you, Doug, for getting the stream working. Perfect Justice is the title of tonight's live stream. We're reading from Luke chapter 18, verse 6 through 8. And see if I can get to my, there it is. Okay, so this is the parable of the persistent widow, and we're starting with verse 6 in chapter 18 of Luke. And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" That's the big question. He will hand out perfect justice. No doubt about that. Even though we're all struggling in this beast system right now, the Lord will prevail. But the question is, will he find faith on the earth? And you've asked that question many, many times.
I have.
When he returns, how many is he going to find who are truly in the faith?
I was just going over our notes, and when we were talking, Is it last night? We're losing track of our days.
Last night and this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking, our conversation started off with, I would like to be a fly on the wall in these evangelical churches when the majority of their congregations have taken the mark.
Yep.
If what we know about Scripture, what we know about Scripture is mm-hmm. true, and that the Holy Spirit departs from the temple when it has been rendered desolate.
Yep.
Meaning the body of the Holy Spirit, your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, how is it that people are going to be able to gather in places of worship to worship one who is no longer present in them?
Mm.
How much of a priority will it be? What will come upon them as a counterfeit when they gather together to worship, when the Holy Spirit is not in them to inspire and to...
Instruct,
yeah. So, I was asking, how will they worship if the Holy Spirit is not present within them, based upon what Scripture says about those who receive this into their body? And so I said, they're going to be open for demonic infiltration.
Yeah.
And I said to you, what I saw happening was much like what happened back in the 80s when that Toronto blessing came in. It was the Kundalini spirit.
Yes, indeed.
And so to make up for or to present still and call movements of the Holy Spirit, these so-called desolate Christian churches
sure.
will be falling, will become prey for the demonic realm to once again infiltrate. And it won't be a surprise to people because this has been seen before.
Right.
Back in the 80s and early 90s, you know, the slain in the spirit, the rolling around on the ground and barking like dogs and shaking and what they called holy laughter, which was like a bunch of cackling hyenas.
Yep.
All these manifestations that are not of God's Holy Spirit are once again going to come into the church and be very acceptable.
Yeah.
There was a church in Woburn, Massachusetts, Christian Teaching and Worship Center, and back in their heyday, they had people coming in howling like coyotes and putting dog leashes on collars. The people would put dog collars on, and they would let people put leashes on them, and they would crawl around on all fours. This even got captured in Andrew Strom's video about the Kundalini warning.
Yeah.
And I know the people in that church. I know the leadership. And so this is something that is going to once again begin to manifest in these churches because the Holy Spirit's not there to check it.
Can I add just a little sidebar?
Oh, please.
Our neighbor, bless our neighbors. Truly, we have wonderful neighbors surrounding us. And our neighbor came over to lend some assistance where I was unable to do some things today because basically I can either sit in a chair or lay down. That's all I can do. And I got into conversation with him about the vaccines. I mean, he kind of brought it up. One of his sons happens to be a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, my son told me yesterday that they are responding to more and more domestic violence calls. And he said, you know, at first I kind of thought, well, maybe it's because everybody's cooped up.
Yeah.
But they aren't. In the area here or where his son works, they're not really. They're not in quarantine anymore. And so I said to my neighbor, your son is beginning to see the alteration in human behavior. You're beginning to see the effect upon the minds of those that have been vaccinated. And I didn't get real deep into it with him, but I said, please pass on to your son.
To be careful.
To be careful,
yeah.
And to expect more aberrant behavior on the part of just everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is manifesting in more vehicle collisions that I'm aware of. Out on the road, people driving much more strangely than we normally encounter.
Yeah.
So we're putting it out to you folks. It's already beginning. The aberrant mental behavior, expect more of it. Just be on your toes, recognize it when you see it.
Right.
Go ahead.
So from that, our discussion progressed to, you know, why it is that we decided to make the move from a public platform to a private platform.
Yeah.
And we did it based on just statistics, general statistics, and we used those statistics, threw them about loosely, saying perhaps half of the world's population is now, if we were saying, and I think that's about accurate, half, maybe a little bit more. I know that by July, they want to have at least 70% of the world vaccinated, and we are at least 50% right now. At least that's what they're saying to us.
Let me be a little more specific. Okay. President Biden said 70% in the United States by the 4th of July.
Uh-huh.
But overall, globally, the number is at, this is the published number, at 50% of the global population has now been vaccinated.
Okay. So that being the case, we talked about that is half of the population that we know is gone and just would not even, there's no need to even talk about it with them. There's no need to even bring it up. They won't listen to us, and we're obviously not going to be speaking anything into their life because it's too late.
Right.
So that leaves 50% of the population. But we know that there are more now, and that's only because they were going in incremental age groups.
Right.
So now they're starting to get at the other age groups, so that number is going to go up of willing people take it. So say we're now talking about 70% of the population being vaccinated. That leaves 30% of the world who now is feeling pressure in knowing they are in the minority. They are a mixture of people who are perhaps just plain secular anti-vaxxers.
Right.
They're not taking it because it's unhealthy. They're not taking it because the government's not telling them what to do. They may not even have a faith base. So let's say that accounts for 10% of the population.
Okay.
That 10% is also very, very vulnerable because they don't have a faith base to eventually capitulating to taking it because they don't have the strength that comes from their inner spirit and man, you know, from God, that
yep.
The Holy Spirit to strengthen them. So now we're looking at 20% of the population that may call themselves Christian. Don't forget, 70% of the so-called Christians have already taken it.
Yep.
So we were talking about our research and who we speak to, who is out there right now. Very few are left to be so-called saved from this vaccine.
Yep.
Because even still, we ourselves have had to accept that our family members, best friends, have taken it.
And that's your personal best friend. Just this week we found out.
Just the other day. And, you know, so there are still a few close to you who profess the same faith that say, oh, no, I won't, no, I won't. But if they're still attending their church down the street, chances are they will eventually.
They're in that 10% group of could be swayed.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So you and I looked at that and said, you know what? We're looking at numbers of, we're looking now to support those who are adamant in their faith.
Yes.
We're looking for the true faith base now.
Yes.
I'm not looking for Christians in a church. I'm strictly hoping to reach the true children of God, which is a remnant, somewhere in that 20%, in which other, you know, groups could be included.
Yeah.
But we're looking at a minimum of perhaps 20%. So we were talking about truth seekers and mm-hmm. people out there that are, you know, speaking against the vaccine. We're looking at the, what I can call controlled opposition, the Alex Joneses, the, you know, the radio host. Who's that radio host?
Del Bigtree?
No. The one in Boston that my mother's always talking about. My mother and Ron that they listen to. What's
doesn't
his name?
Matter.
Anyway.
Doesn't matter.
You know, she said he's speaking out against the vaccine. But these are secular individuals who are saying they're not going to take it and are presenting factual, truthful information about the dangers of it. They themselves are not going to take it, but they're not speaking to a faith base.
No, they're not.
So they are apart, and they, but they're still vying for an audience. So if 70% of the world's population has been vaccinated and they have a message that is speaking against this worldwide delusion, they're speaking to the remaining 20% who haven't taken it, because nobody else who's taken it is going to listen to them because it's too late.
Yep.
So now the secular world is speaking to some secular in that 20%, but mainly the children of God. And the children of God have discernment to know that, yes, they may listen to the information of the secular person, but they're going to weigh it against Scripture. Because these people do not profess to have a faith in Jesus Christ.
And so that divides the number even
further. That makes it even smaller.
Yep.
We're going to be getting into Cantor set pretty soon. You know, and so you and I, by confirmation of the Holy Spirit, were following God's directive to minister to the remnant.
Yep.
And I don't use that word lightly, because I don't consider myself a minister, never called myself a pastor. We are not a church, and we don't even call this a ministry. But it's the appropriate word when we're directing it toward our brethren.
Yep.
And so that is why we made a calculated attempt, not attempt, that's why we made a calculated decision to make this private, because it's for those people who know and understand the revelatory times that we are in and are serious about it. That they don't think that we're just playing games and, oh, maybe, could be. You know, your ability to ride the fence is, the time is almost gone. You know, it's come and it's almost gone. So you have to choose this day whom it is that you are going to serve, and then set your mind and heart to it. That doesn't mean I'm saying set your mind and heart to supporting Kathleen and Anthony. I am not saying that. I am simply telling you that the time has come. You cannot waver on this topic anymore. You're either all in or you're out. And that's just the way it is.
So here's my, again, sidebar. Call me Mr. Sidebar tonight. We have also determined in that decision to go private. Private with the replay of the videos, of the live streams. Private with our information that we share with subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that protects our subscribers. We have, from the very beginning, 4 years ago when we started our live streams, stated that we wanted to create a safe learning environment,
mm-hmm.
devoid of trolls and interference and crazies.
As best we can.
As best we can. And we're still striving to make that 100%. But that's for our members. You and I can deal with it. We continue to deal with it, the trolls and the attacks. But we have a strong sense of responsibility to those that have come here to listen, to read Entangled Magazine, to participate. And we have a strong sense of being protective of everyone that's here. And therefore, taking it private protects that learning environment that we're striving for.
You know, look, we're not blowing smoke at you when we say we need you as much as you say you need us.
Yep.
We are coming to a place where I don't know how much longer we're all going to be able to speak together on a public platform.
Yep.
You see what Anthony and I are going through just to try and change these things. The next step is just, We talked about it today. If they take us off Subscribestar because of violating their community rules and regulations, we basically are at the mercy of having to go to you and just say, you know what? If you like what we're saying, hit the donate button, and then it goes directly in. You know, you have a donate button. We can't even use PayPal, though, so it would have to be something else. But, you know, that's our next step, because I'm not going to go through this again with the constant, you know, changing. We're gonna do what we can while we can. And we just ask for you to be patient and ride it with us. We know it's a lot of steps, but once you get the steps done and they're really easily laid out right now, you know, many of you have already figured out Vimeo. More or less, when we said to register on Vimeo, it was if you wanted to chat, depending on the device you're using. Some people say, oh, I can't get into chat. Oh, I can't get the live stream. And it's different for every person depending on the device you're using.
Right. Especially, you know, the mobile devices.
Vimeo will accept one type of phone, but not another. You know, you can chat on this phone, but you can't chat on that phone. You might be able to do this on your laptop, but you can't do this on your desktop. So, you know, with every person and every device, it's different, which is why you go out to Vimeo and you register so you can chat. That's it. I mean, most of them that have figured that out by now, but if not, we're here for you and we will do what we can with Doug. God bless Doug. He needs extra blessings and extra prayers because he has been inundated and emails.
And I'm sure that Doug has sacrificed a lot of his family time.
Yes, he has. And Doug, we appreciate it and we thank you. We really thank you. And we want you to know that, you know, Doug is an essential part of what we do here. And he is in our prayers. And I consider him very much a part of our team, a very important part of our team.
It's our Trinity.
Oh, don't say that. That's not even nice. No. Don't say that. No. Sometimes we feel more like the Three Musketeers. Don't say Trinity.
Maybe the Three Stooges.
Yeah, that too. So cross that. Don't even listen to that one. So anyway, you know, it's a good decision. We're going to go with it. We're going to move ahead. There's a lot that we need to cover and to talk about.
I'd like to carry it over to, you know, how our members, how our audience, our friends are dealing with people. And that, we're not here to tell people how to deal with people, but it is a sense of warning, a sense of heads up, like I said about the aberrant mental behavior. But also where you are placing your efforts. Take to heart what Kathleen said about, we're down to about 20% of the global population. You know, we started out with the broad stroke label of separating the wheat from the tares. And then we went to don't cast your pearls before swine. Now we're down to focusing. And I urge our friends here, focus your energies where they will be the most productive. Now, you may find it hard to determine who would be receptive to your information, whether it's scientific information on the vaccines or spiritual or a combination thereof. But if anything, take the example of Kathleen and myself, where we are focusing on you, and then you can focus on people that you feel you can, literally, that you can save. And the others fall into that 70 to 80 percentile of the global population that just cannot be reached and who are going to make their own decision anyway.
I think some good advice right now is to listen more when you're speaking to another individual and talk less. Yep. Let them reveal their position. And they will, as you're speaking, because it is the predominant way that people, you know, you go up to somebody and say, hi, my name is Kathleen, and shake their hand. We're getting to a point where socially it's going to be acceptable to say, hi, my name is Kathleen, are you vaccinated? Because it's going to be marketed that that's what you need to say, because they want to identify. Now they're going to try and smoke us out. That's what you need to, that's what we're getting toward. You know, you come here to us because you're saying, what is the Holy Spirit saying to us? How is he guiding us? So he's telling us, listen, you know, we're living a quiet life. You're flying under the radar. You're going to do everything. You're not showboating. You're going to be quiet. You're going to be intelligent. You're going to listen more, speak less. Until you discern for yourself if this is a person who is truly searching and in need, because other Christians are being called together by the Holy Spirit Tenpenny's not going to hold them together. Dr. Carrie Madej is not going to hold them together. These people who are being paraded in the media are not going to hold it together.
No. Because they don't have
the Holy Spirit. That's right. The Holy Spirit is going, he's calling out to his children right now, and he will bring them to that place.
Yep.
Those rallying places, if you will, where they can receive his word. And it will be confirmation in your spirit to these things. We are getting to a place in our world right now where we have to look at history and look at what happened to those who were rounded up by Hitler. It wasn't just Jews, it was Polish, it was
Czechoslovakian,
many nationalities that he went after. And how you have to go very covert. You have to be very quiet. Yes, if you see your neighbor, wave. You know, you don't necessarily have to go over and talk. But if you do, you know, you do the fence thing. What was that program that had the guy behind
Home
the fence?
Home Improvement. With Tim Allen.
Yeah, the fence up. Hi, yeah, good to see you.
Wilson.
Pull your hat down. But you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying be totally antisocial, but you have to be very wise about who you socialize with. And socializing could be detrimental to your health very soon.
Well, we did introduce in the last live stream the discussion of shedding, the shedding of spike proteins. And you will have more information in the July 1st edition of Entangled Magazine on spike proteins. I don't get into shedding a whole lot, because you don't have to say a lot, but in a nutshell, it is exhalation, breathing out, and bodily contact. Those are the vectors, the routes of transmission of the spike proteins themselves, because they are on the lining of your airways, your air passages, your bronchial tubes, on the lining, the epithelial cells. The spike proteins are binding to the ACE2 receptor site of the endothelial cells that line the airways and the blood vessels, arteries and veins and capillaries. In the bloodstream, they're traveling spike proteins to the brain. They're able to cross the blood-brain barrier. And this is what's causing the aberrant mental behavior that we're beginning to see more and more examples of. Those are prions they are spike proteins. Prions is a subset of that. Spike proteins entering a person's brain. Again, more information in Entangled Magazine, but we do have that issue, all of us, coming into contact with people, that those that have been vaccinated, don't worry about those that have been infected by the virus. That's not the issue. That's not the shedding of the virus issue. That's low level. The more clear and present danger, and again, I'm speaking from bona fide medical sources, it is the exhalation and the body contact transmitting spike proteins that's doing the damage to the non-vaccinated. So right back to our shield up here, the full armor of God. That's the bottom line protection, is prayer for an intact full armor of God to protect you in this environment, a shedding environment.
You know, the Lord says that he will protect us from the deadly pestilence and plagues that stalk at night and midday. I really do, and have always been an advocate, encouraging you to learn about and to put on the full armor of God. And that is never more true than it is today. It is not religious speak. It is your lifeline. And I encourage you to learn more about it and to every day get up and put it on, so that you are protected against the unseen forces, the invisible powers and principalities that are thick in the air right now. Anthony and I, if I were to say to you that we have experienced heaviness, I don't think we've ever experienced it like this in our married life. We've all had times in our life where it seems like everything hits, you know, the proverbial you know what hits the fan. But it's not that. It's a sense that it's a focused attack. It's a focused plan of trying to wear us down. It's a like a concentrated effort by demonic powers to be able to bring down what we're doing and who we are with one another as a married husband and wife, as people, as children of God, responsible for bringing encouragement and insight and revelation to the body of Christ, and you know, and exposing the workings of the secular media and the world as it's taken up by this delusion, and given over to it. So, you know, it's vitally, vitally important that you recognize these things for what they are. You know, the attack on your body. Yes, God can take this and use it for good because it highlighted for us things that could have become a problem. Like I said, a month, 2 months, 6 months from now, when we refuse again to take the vaccine, that we are not allowed in health facilities for fear that we're going to bring in some sort of mutant variant strain of this.
Yeah.
You know, so anybody who's not been vaccinated, you can't come near a hospital or a doctor's office or go into a grocery store or do whatever.
Yep.
You know, because we refuse to be marked by this beast system. So, but nonetheless, the difficulties on multiple levels of our life, personal, financial, you know, emotional, relational.
And even our dogs. I mean, this is
socially.
This is going to sound silly.
I know, but.
Our two puppies, Downton and Abby, they are out of control.
We don't understand.
And it's not normal dog, not normal puppy behavior. They are incessantly barking.
Yeah.
And I'm not, again, this is not a plea for sympathy. I'm just giving you an example of how the demonic world is trying to work against us in our home. The dog's personalities have changed. And poor Downton now,
is
tonight,
very sick. Downton is very sick. We're going to have to take, Anthony has an appointment tomorrow with the urologist, so we have to go to that. But first thing in the morning, I have a dog that is so sick in his pen right now. I took him out. I was up at 5:30 this morning, and I'm literally up on the hill throwing a ball at 5:30 in the morning to him and Abby because they're wide awake and just need to run off that energy from the night. And so I brought them in, gave them their breakfast, then went back out with them to play, and I looked down, and Downton had vomited, and there was just, it was all grass. He was eating and eating and eating grass. Now, we know that he likes to eat rocks, but he seemed to have gotten away from that, and now he's eating grass. He took ill this afternoon, and he can't keep anything down. He can't keep water. If he lays down, a little bit comes up. If he stands up, a little bit comes up, but there's no rocks in it. It's all like pieces of grass. And I'm hoping that he settles down, but nonetheless, first thing tomorrow, we have to take him to the doctors because he's just so lethargic right now, and I'm trying to get him to drink water, and he can't keep anything down, and nothing is open right now. There are no veterinarian hospitals around us that we can take him to. The emergency hospital is closed right now. The emergency hospital for pets is closed, and our vet doesn't open until first thing in the morning. So please pray for Downton that he just ate something that is just really disagreeing with him, but tomorrow, by the grace of God, he'll feel better. That's my prayer. Abby seems to be okay. We have had bears in the area. We now have two, one very large bear and one year old cub. And they go around this area, so I know that a lot of their barking is due to that. But there's also this barking that just, it's not like them.
No.
And I don't understand why. It's constant. And it's just grating on my nerves, to be quite honest with you.
Something is definitely affecting the dogs. So we share this with you because...
it's spiritual.
It is a spiritual attack upon us, upon our dogs. A spiritual attack on what we're trying to deliver to you. We're going to continue on as long as we can.
Amen.
If this should be the last live stream, and we pray against that right now, but if this is the last live stream...
why would you say that?
I'm just saying, we don't know when they're going to cut us off. Oh. But we pray against it.
Well, no, we actually have a backup plan if Vimeo should go down, and that is we are going to record them.
Right.
That we will pre-record on Monday, present it Tuesday at 7, record on Wednesday, present it Thursday at 7. So we'll still do the Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, but it will be recorded the day before. I mean, so the word and the message will still get to people.
Sure.
But you may lose chat. I mean, eventually. I hope it doesn't happen for a while, but it's a possibility, and that's the backup plan that we had talked about.
Right.
But we didn't want to talk about too many backup plans. We just want to kind of stabilize if we can for a little while anyway.
Yep.
But so back to what we were saying about the demonic realm being thick, if you will, in the air. You can sense the presence of demonic entities entering our world at a rate that probably is equal to what happened in the days of Noah. Because
yep.
Now the bodies that are emptied because the Holy Spirit is no longer residing in them, 50 to 70% of the population will be open for demonic infiltration. Which is why you're going to see the changes in behavior, the criminal activity, the domestic abuse, because God's Holy Spirit is no longer within these people to check them.
Yep.
They may still have a sense of, I don't want to use the term decency, but of understanding the law and what is right and what is wrong, so that would keep them in check. But I think that even that is going to be lessening.
Diminishing, yep.
And, because the Lord said men will become lovers of self with no natural affection. So they're not going to care.
Right.
They're going to be cold-hearted.
Yep.
Even toward their own family members, there's no loyalty. So
we're not speaking out of turn. We are referencing the Word of God when we say these things.
Right. Right. And that's what it's about right now. We will always bring to you the latest, in terms of what we vet for news items and focusing on the science and the development as this goes on. Because don't forget now, our focus is even more now on the whole genetic world. Because now what we're going to be focusing on is, how is this all going to roll out? How are these electroceuticals, so to speak, that are controlling the cellular logic gates and the brain interface, how all of that now is going to start to play out? The switch is flipped. The switch has been flipped, that proverbial switch that we've talked about so many times. What's going to happen when they flip the switch? Well, it's happening.
The world has passed the tipping point.
It has.
In terms of the numbers of people that have been vaccinated. And therefore, going beyond that tipping point of being able to hold at arm's length the possession by demonic entities, that's gone. There's too many people in the world now that are open to it, and they are becoming possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And it will begin to manifest more and more in those individuals, but also just on a numerical scale as more people are vaccinated.
And that's why it is wise to listen and say less. Do not share as much with those around you as you once did, because they don't have that natural affection toward you anymore. They may outwardly look the same and still smile at you and say, how are your pets? How's your daughter? How's your son? But their whole emotional makeup It's almost like the Stepford Wives.
Yes, it is.
That just came to me, you know, the Stepford Wives, where, how are you, June? I'm fine, Mary. How are you? I'm very well. Thank you, Nancy. You look wonderful. You know, I mean, that's exactly what it's going to be like. And then, I mean, welcome to the world of biological synths, you know? Geordie Rose, you got your wish, but you're going to get yours. You're going to get yours.
Perfect Justice, the title of tonight's
live stream. That's right. So we need to listen and identify who it is that we are in the presence of and act accordingly. I would say act as they do. Oh, I'm fine, Mary. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Have a wonderful day. Bye. See you soon. Remember that? Was it Saturday Night Live? They used to do the airline skit with the stewardesses. That's when they still call them stewardesses. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye-bye now. My face hurts from smiling so much. Anyway, that's what we're going to do. Just be very, very superficial because you need to live your life quietly and not let anybody know what you're doing. And that's because there's more of them, less of us, and there's going to come a point where they're going to come almost looking for you, you know, so that they can point you out to others who are in the position or authority to do something, you know.
Yep.
All they have to do is say, you know, I have a neighbor that's within 15 feet of me that I know and the entire family isn't vaccinated and I'm frightened that they are going to pose a risk. This whole neighborhood is vaccinated and this one family could introduce variants to the entire neighborhood. Where do they live? And before you know it, the officials are at your door saying, can you come with us? Because you're a risk to all these people.
Yep.
So you need to be very quiet. Don't tell anybody your business. Get alone with the Lord. Fellowship with those who have already proven themselves to be loyal to the Lord. And then you can feel some sort of relationship with them. You're going to have to exercise and rely on your relationship with God's Holy Spirit, which is why we have been encouraging you to strengthen that, because you're going to need to hear Him say, this is the way, walk in it, go this way, don't go that way. Don't approach her. It's not a good time to talk to her. And then you find out why later.
That takes a degree of sensitivity.
It and in His voice, He is speaking. He is speaking so much. And along with that comes the power and the abilities that Jesus had, which leads us to the next thing that we were talking about. Why it is that Jesus said you would do even greater things than me. Because Jesus, He was in a time where technology wasn't in play. While He was here, though Satan entered the hearts of leaders and religious authorities to attack Jesus, it was part of God's plan for Him to willfully sacrifice His life. Though they thought they were putting Him there, He gave His life for mankind. So in these days, because of the permeation of evil, the evil is greater. The power of evil is greater in these times.
Just because of the numbers.
In terms of the numbers and the saturation in the world. This is the entire world.
There's no going back to normal life.
No. So when He said you will do even greater things than these, it's because the times are going to demand a greater power in order to operate when, you know, when the statistics say, okay, really, from that 20%, there may be various faiths mixed in there, maybe 13 or 12% are true children of God.
Yep. And as we put up on our scripture this evening, let me just put it back up here for everybody.
You will have to do greater things because there will be less of you. You know, there will be less in number, so a greater number of miraculous things will have to take place because of that scenario. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and...
You could probably word it better.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, we discussed this at length earlier today. We are understanding that these days are different days. I'm parsing my words, folks, because the medication is working against me. In the time of Jesus Christ, there were no quantum computers, as far as we know. Okay? There was no ability to manipulate the DNA and the RNA and to introduce messenger RNA. And again, the caveat here and everything I'm saying is as far as we know. So we as the children of God today, within a highly technological world, an environment driven by science and technology that did not exist in the time of Jesus, the greater works are targeted at the technologies of today. We are praying against the quantum computers. We are praying against the DNA modification.
And the particulate, yes, the right. Changes at that particulate level.
Right.
Yes.
And we drill down, we get more specific with our prayers.
We're trying to break entanglements that should not be there.
Correct. And so, as such, those greater works could be interpreted to mean you are going to be applying your abilities, your gifts from God, your power through prayer and the name of Jesus Christ, applying that in ways that did not exist at the time of Jesus. That's how I read it.
Yeah. No, I think that makes absolute sense. You know, DNA is DNA, and it was working the same as it does in the time of Jesus as it is now. I think there's more susceptibility to it to be manipulated and changed because of all of the drugs that we have now. Nevertheless, I'm sure they had drugs back then too that they used, but we've often said that quantum computing is mechanized divination. We've always said that, and we've gone back to showing people the I Ching, geomancy, we've talked about Chinese day books, we've talked about Daniel using the systems of his time to, you know, bring about readings for the kings that he supported. Even though he didn't ascribe to that method, he had to use that method because that was what was acceptable in the days of the Assyrian kings, you know, the Babylonian kings, to bring about, you know, answers before they made moves that affected large groups of people or the building of a city or the conquering of a nation, you know, the auspicious and inauspicious times. So this is just carried forward, and quantum computing has taken up as the mechanism for divining these times and directing the lives of large groups of people. But Satan needs humanity to participate in his plan. So he has very carefully crafted new or technology that interacts with humanity, whether it be tapping on a board or tapping on your phone.
Correct.
You're still tapping dots in the sand where random number generation Correct. Can pull and make a prognostication on one's life.
So think about this. You've seen published in Entangled magazine the images of a person randomly making dots in the sand. Okay? And pick that process up and put it into a quantum computer. This is what we mean by random number generation. The dots in the sand today are the binary, because the dots are interpreted mm-hmm. by a diviner in a binary fashion. Binary is the language of computing. Everybody knows that. What we are talking about are quantum computers that can run so many different cycles.
Iterations, yes.
Iterations of making dots in the sand.
You look at, just turn your computer around on the back and look at the green dots as they as they send and receive information. That is all technological geomancy.
Pure and simple it is.
That's in our magazines too, if we go back 2 or 3 years. Pictures that we captured.
3 years ago.
It's on live streams that we've captured. We said, if you don't believe us, look at this. And we turn these computers around and we said, look at them. Look at the lights lining up. They're in the four-row formation. It's all there. It's divination. It's Satan spirit operating through technology.
So what comes out of this divination when we speak of auspicious and inauspicious times to initiate an action, for example? This is communication of forbidden knowledge that is being transmitted, that is being given literally. I'm speaking literally here. Divination is a spiritual communication system, whether you're using dots in the sand or a quantum computer.
Right.
Okay? And those interpretations are the information that is spiritually given to the diviner who knows how to interpret the random number generation. It is in the interpretation that the spiritual influence of the demonic realm manifests in the physical reality. Jordy Rose, 2015.
We're going to bring it in.
He said that if we are clever enough, smart enough, we can extract resources from these parallel dimensions.
That's why he listened to me. That's why he listened when I would send him things, and he responded once or twice. Once or twice he responded. But he read everything that I sent him. And I sent it to him because I wanted him to know that we know what they're doing. He's not that clever.
No.
He really isn't. He's a minion. He's a pawn in Satan's list of players, along with the Gates of Hell, Bill and Melinda, and many others.
So going to big picture, we're on Patch
He's
Airlines.
He's a master warlock is what he is.
He is a master warlock. We're on Patch Airlines at 144,000 feet. The big perspective on quantum computing is artificial intelligence, because when IARPA and EARPA and DARPA funded the development in one track of artificial intelligence beginning in the mid-1990s, the resurgence, taking AI out of the AI winter, as they called it, and providing funding. They did concurrently the same thing for quantum computing, and it manifested in 2001 with D-Wave's first prototypes, 8-bit, then a 64-bit, then a 128, first commercial 128-bit quantum computer. AI development and quantum computer development walked hand in hand. One served the purpose of the other. AI advanced the research for quantum computing. Likewise, quantum computing did the same for AI. We are here, big picture, we are here in the midst of this evil, demonic plandemic, because this was designed in the software of quantum computing in conjunction with the AI-driven iterations. Think of the diviner back in the day that was watching a person who was posing a question, that person posing the question making seemingly random dots in the sand. Then you have the skilled diviner who's been taught how to interpret the random patterns.
Simply ones or zeros,
right.
Even back in the ancient of days.
That skilled diviner, I want a label for the listeners, that skilled diviner as a human being, as an individual, has been supplanted in the form of a quantum computer. The quantum computer is doing the divining, the interpretation. The application of those interpretations is handled by artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence designs how does this play out in the real world. I've said for 18 months now, the whole plandemic was designed and planned and executed by the highest level of quantum computer-driven artificial intelligence.
So would you say that is the beginning of the rollout of the sentient world simulation?
Correct. Correct. So,
welcome to the Matrix, people.
If you want to know how we got here because AI driven by quantum computing and quantum computing establishing the interdimensional communications. 2015, it was 512 qubits in the D-Wave quantum computer. Jordy Rose says we are accessing 2^500 power of parallel dimensions. Today, they have more than 5,000 qubits in their computer. And therefore, by Jordy Rose's own math, they are accessing 2^5,000 power of parallel dimensions. Now, that's his label, parallel dimensions. What we're talking about is accessing individual demons.
And does the Lord not say, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has been cast down to you? I don't know what people are expecting. If they're expecting the sky to open up and all of a sudden to see Satan go rolling across the sky and land on the street, you know, I don't know what people, I mean, you have to understand when the Lord sends out the horses, the horsemen of Revelation, we're not going to see, oh, there goes the green one, you know, bouncing across the sky. There goes the red one bouncing across the sky. This is all in the spiritual realm, but the Lord has given his children the discernment to know where we are at in Revelation. We are approaching and are at or in what I would say the beginning of the great tribulation.
If we're looking,
we're at the halfway point, more, we are more into now the second half of that,
because we've reached that tipping point. Sorry about that, guys.
How did that happen?
I don't know. That was our camera.
Right. Nothing was caught in it.
Nope. Something disturbed it.
Isn't that weird? It was steady on those books. You didn't hit the cord.
No.
Because I'm looking at you. I didn't see you did that.
Here we go.
That's all right. We wonder if the dogs are barking off. We're just going to pray against spirits coming in our house.
That's right. Okay.
It's all right.
All right, we'll get back to it.
So, you know, we have to understand that this is all playing out in the spiritual realm, and we can be very sensitive to that. You know, you can sense. I was walking through our house today, and I said that. I said, I feel oppression. I feel it.
Yep.
And so I just said, Lord, I'm walking down the hallway, and I'm talking to myself. Anthony, it doesn't even faze Anthony anymore. And I'm like, Father, in the name of Jesus, I push back those forces of darkness that are trying to encroach upon our lives, our home, our work, you know, everything within our home, our pets, everything. And I push it back and nail it to the gates of hell where it came from. And I told him, I said, Satan, you have no authority or right in this home by the blood of Jesus. You know, and I literally go to my door and I open and I say to the spirits, get out in Jesus' name. How many times have you seen me do that?
It's a literal process.
Yeah. And the world would think you're crazy, like those people need to be locked up. No, because we're bringing our faith of the spiritual things in the outworking of the things that we say, the things that we do, and the authority that we take. When we sense that spirit, we have that sensitivity. That's going to be heightened in you. You are going to be hypersensitive to the Holy Spirit to the point where you literally will hear his voice when he says, John, don't walk that way. Walk this way. Don't speak to that person. Keep going. And we need that communication open with God so that he can advise us what to do in every situation. Every situation. So the greater things that Jesus said we would do is because we are working with a greater
threat. A greater level of threat.
Not that Jesus wasn't right. In his time and in his circumstances dealing literally with hell itself and Satan himself. You know, he says you're going to do even greater things because that means we are going to be confronting Satan and his demons. What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. It's not funny.
I know it's not funny, but
I didn't touch anything. This keeps getting kicked over.
All right, well, put it on something and...
It's right there where we always have it.
I know.
Something is pushing it over. This is not theater, folks. This is just what we're dealing with here.
All right, now check it and make sure.
The camera never is unstable.
Well, it looks a little awkward there, hon.
Well, I'm trying to get it lined up.
All right, now shake it and make sure.
It's all right. Good. All right. It's stable.
I think it's it. Watch your snowball, because it's in, get your, that's what it is. Your snowball is intertwined with the corners.
No, there's, I didn't pull on it. Do you see the slack?
All right, all right. Well,
I'm
whatever.
Not pulling on anything.
Live television, or live streams.
So,
gosh.
I want to get to the phrase that a lot of people have heard in church and programs and whatever, and that's Christ-like behavior. Okay? If we look at Christ-like behavior that we're striving for, what Christ was dealing with in his time when he was incarnate, in physical form, is the pattern for us. He was obviously able to discern demons outside of a human body and inside, possessing a human body.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to command those spirits, those demons. Think about Christ-like behavior that way. You know, we think about Christ, I think about Christ-like behavior in terms of my temper, the use of words, the language, where I put my focus and my time and my energies. Christ-like behavior in those areas. But Christ-like behavior in this time where we are under direct assault by the demonic realm.
Mm-hmm.
And our Christ-like behavior in that set of circumstances is to command the demonic realm to flee the house, to flee our relationship, to flee our dogs, to flee our friends. We've talked an awful lot about being warriors on the front lines. Not spectators, not cheerleaders. And we, including our friends, we are all definitely on the front lines, and we're a small group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we're not powerful. If we understand and appreciate the power that God has given us, this is where you have to embolden yourself. You have to rise up within yourself. You have to take it literally, as I say, that you have power. Seek through Jesus Christ what that power is and how to manifest it. Because you and I, we all together, we are on the front lines, and we are all under absolute demonic attack right now.
We are. And we don't always handle it well. You know, a lot of people have said that they like the dynamic between us. I mean, you should have seen what it was like in this house right before we came on the live stream. It was... Absolutely. We were attacking one another. You know, we come on and we smile and go, but we're looking at each other like, you're a jerk. And you're looking at me and you're saying, you're a jerk. But we don't say it on in front of you. But it was horrible. It was chaotic. It was craziness. It was stress. It was everything.
All day long.
And, you know, we can come to you and say, like, we were fighting before we came online. And... that's real life, and that's what happens, and that's what we're contending with. And, you know, we really didn't like each other 5 minutes before we came on the program, and I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
You know, I wish that I handled it better. You know, I wish that I didn't swear. I get angry. I swore. And.
But we're in the same trenches as our friends here. They're experiencing same, similar sets of circumstances in their homes.
I know. And that's why we need to pray for one another, because the enemy has it. You know, when they say they have the knives out for you, well, he does. He really does. You know, what came to me as you were speaking was the scene where the soldier or the centurion comes to Jesus to say that his daughter is sick.
Yeah.
Or was it a servant in his household that was sick? Anyway, it was either a servant or his daughter was sick. But the words had to do with him saying to Jesus, you don't have to come to my house I know you're a man of prayer, and I know that, you know, he basically knew that Jesus worked miracles, and he said, if you would just heal my daughter. And he knew that he was asking Jesus to just heal her from wherever he was. He didn't have to go to his house. And when Jesus said we're going to do even greater things, that means that we are going to have the power to break the entanglement that Satan is trying to latch onto in this world. We have power over that particulate cellular protein enzyme level. We do. And that's not just blowing smoke again. We're not saying this to butter you up and to make you feel good. There's not a lot that we have to say in these days that's going to make you feel good, other than if it refers to our faith and the empowerment that comes from being associated as a child of God with Jesus.
That's right.
So, you know, when we think about this, our faith is what's going to break that demonic entanglement. He will never have it fully wrapped up. Satan's time is short. Why? Because God's mandate was that if Jesus did not return, no man would live. Well, let's look at the numbers. Let's look at our 70% world population vaccinated. That's 70% of the world who is dead to Jesus Christ.
Already.
Without the Holy Spirit.
We're beyond the tipping point.
And I know what you're saying right now. You're sitting there saying, is that really true? Is this really true? Is this really true? Am I really hearing this? Is it happening? Yes, it is. This is it. So the 30% that's left, again, 10% maybe might be secular, non-faith-based, non-religious, intellectual people who are not taking the vaccine because it's not safe and it's not proven and it's not tested. But when the rubber hits the road, they may end up taking it just so they can survive, because they won't have that faith. They won't have the power, because they've denied a savior in their life. They've denied that they've needed a savior. They've denied God. So that in itself will still lead them to destruction, even if their path is paved in a righteous direction. Their actions or lack of faith will still lead them to hell, because they never wanted a savior and they didn't want God. They didn't want to believe in him. So they're doomed still anyway. It's just a little bit delayed. So then we're down to 20%. And of that 20%, there may be some, again, we'll say in some churches that haven't taken the vaccine, but they still belong to their gathering, whatever their Christian gathering might be. And eventually, what's left is only the children of God against the world. That 13% against the world. Do you think at that point that God is not going to stand up and say, enough? Get my children, bring them to me, and Jesus, take care of things. Because it says, when he returns, will he find faith upon the earth? I would like to say the answer for that is yes. He will find it in his children. It's going to be difficult for us, but we are going to operate in power. We cannot have but the Holy Spirit in us so long as we are human and are alive. Therefore, we will have even greater power in us, because there will be less of the Holy Spirit in others. The Holy Spirit will have nothing but, we will be concentrated with the power of the Holy Spirit because there are so few of us. And his desire to operate through us will be so incredibly powerful, because it's operating in just a few. But that few, us, you, will be able to do tremendous damage. And that's the witness that God is talking about, not us. The witness is that power manifesting in the children of God being worked in this world against all evil. We are going to be an incredible testimony, because even though there's only a few, they still won't be able to advance in the way that they want, which is why Satan's going to get so pissed off that he is going to want to start rounding those 13% up and killing them, because he thinks if he kills them, then he's going to have control of the whole world. Ha, ha, ha. But he isn't. Because Jesus is going to return and just bust his bubble. So, I know that sounds pretty elementary, but I'm trying to encourage you in that no matter what boasts he makes, he was never successful in the past. He always got corrected. He was always having to rework around God's plan of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration. And the same will happen when Jesus returns. I will leave the punishment of the heads of these nations, the kings, the queens, the princes, the politicians, the prime ministers in their golden palaces, who have done nothing but align themselves with the evil, corrupt leaders of this world, who at the very, very top are part of a cabal, Kabbalism. And these religious leaders, I will give you a strong, strong warning. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. Because you are facing a tremendous, tremendous punishment for what you have done. To the princes and powers of this world, the presidents, the prime ministers, the kings, the queens, you are facing eternity in hell. The heads of technology companies, Jordy Rose, Suzanne Gilbert, Holly Peck, and all of your underground crypt-dwelling technologists, hiring demonologists is what he said in his presentation. All of you are going to pay for eternity for what you are doing, for who you are following. You are following Satan to damnation, eternal damnation, where nobody will know your name. It is nothing but utter agony. It's going to be horrific.
And it's unceasing.
Unceasing. It never stops. Day and night. And still you won't turn, because you're so full of yourself. You're so full of your pride and how intelligent you are and how much money you have made and the power that you have displayed. And you're nothing. You are nothing. You have been given a small amount of power, wealth that can be counted in a bank. But it's not going to buy you salvation. It's never going to buy you happiness. It's never going to buy you a better personality or mindset or heart set. You're still going to be the same evil, greedy person, hungry for power that you are right now, jealous. There's going to be nothing but infighting in Satan's system as it comes upon the earth. Because his character is one of greed and hatred and loathing and jealousy and control and power. And all of these satanic minions are going to be acting that same way against each other and turning on one another. It's going to be utter chaos. Because it can't be anything but. But we have a peace that surpasses understanding, and we have a power that is going to be concentrated in us that is so strong that the Holy Spirit is going to be working in and through us at a greater, more powerful level. And that is just who we are and what is our destiny for this time. We are, in a sense, a different generation.
And what does the Lord say about those that come against his people, that come against his
children? He contends
children?
With those who contend with us.
And I pass that over to Patreon. I pass that over to YouTube. Mm-hmm. I pass that over to PayPal. They have contended with us by mm-hmm. shutting down our channels. Mm-hmm. They personally, every person that was involved at YouTube, Patreon, PayPal, that was involved in shutting us down. Perfect justice will be meted out by the Lord Himself against those individuals because they were contending against His children, you and me specifically, and by default, all of our friends here.
I decided to look up the word contend.
Yep.
To compete, challenge, vie, contest, strive, struggle, tussle, face, take on. Assert, maintain, hold, claim, argue, profess, affirm. Our God works on our behalf.
Yep.
And because our voices in number are few, that doesn't mean that they are not being heard. They are obviously causing a disruption that somebody as little as we are, with, you know, under 1,000 perhaps on a good day, people that support, you know, but if we have even just a few, and we do, and we're together, and we're affirming one another, and we're building ourselves up in our faith, so that God does find faith. Jesus finds faith when He comes back.
Yep.
Then that's all we need. Let's focus.
Because that's what Christ, that's what Christ is looking for when He returns. A lot of the focus that we've provided and other teachers do is the return of Jesus Christ for judgment, and that His focus is on judgment. But it is also gathering His children, focusing on where is the faith? Who's talking about me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as this, He says to the angels.
Yes.
Who's talking about me?
The Bible does say that He sends out angels, and He says, go about the earth and tell me who is speaking about me.
Yep.
He wants to know who's talking about me? Who's lifting me up in these times?
Mm-hmm.
Well, may He find faith amongst us. Us, all of us. Which is why we are focused right now, because if the world had its way, it would steal our faith from us. It would steal our hope in the return of Jesus from us. It would try to say, no, He doesn't exist. Just take the vaccine and shut up and fall in line with everybody else.
Yeah.
No. No. I don't live for you. But I'll die for Him. You know, because we know that we're not of this world. We're in it, but boy, never have we ever felt that we are not a part of it. We're abiding. I have said to a number of our friends that, you know, this is a marathon. It's a race. And we're, you know, unlike most marathons, you know, people are striving to get themselves over the finish line, first, second, third. We're the people that when we see one of our brethren fall, just as we're nearing the finish line, we turn around and we go and we put their arm around our shoulder and we pick them up and we run with them to the finish line. It's all about us picking one another up, like you have picked us up in prayer.
Oh yeah.
And we have said to you, and we still are under tremendous attack, and ask for you to pray for us as we pray for you, because we've fallen and we need help getting up. And so I thank you for that, that you came back, you turned around in your race and you came back and you put our arms around your shoulders and you help us run until we're strong enough to run on our own. And then we will help somebody else who finds themselves in that position. And that's what it's about, finishing this race. It's not about, we will all win when we finish it, but it's not about crossing first, second, third place, you know, that sort of thing.
I like the way you put that.
So.
It is, again, kind of putting some perspective on this. I have never felt more alien in this world than I have since January of last year when this whole COVID thing started. And it's only become even more profound, the separation from the world, in the ensuing months, the 18 months. And I'll just share with our friends here from the health. I've always said about myself that I'm in good physical shape. I don't take any medications. Certainly, you know, my diet and exercise could be better handled.
Junk food junkie.
When I was diagnosed with a prostate that was, as the doctor said, very angry prostate.
Enraged.
highly infected.
Yeah.
And for days on end, I'm going to the ER each day, and I'm doubled over in pain, literally 24 hours a day for 5 days running. No food, very little water, and agony. Again, not looking for sympathy. I'm painting a picture of how suddenly everything changed. And then I'm diagnosed, on top of the prostate, I'm diagnosed with a severely enlarged atria and two heart valves that are leaking. Now, I'm a guy that grew up as a swimmer. Went to college on swimming scholarship. I still have the blood pressure of a 30-year-old. I still have the heart rhythm of a 30-year-old. But an echocardiogram revealed I have a lot of damage to my heart. The reason I'm sharing this with you is because that suddenly presented to me not just my mortality. I've always had a sense of my mortality, but how short life really is now for me personally. It doesn't mean I'm going to die of a heart attack next week. It simply means I know that my life has been shortened. I thought, unless Jesus is going to return real soon, I should live to 80 or 90 like my biological parents did. Mm-hmm. But they lived in a time with a different environment.
Ate healthier.
They didn't have chemtrails.
Right.
They ate better food.
Plus you were in the army, and God knows what they injected you with in the army.
Well, I got the swine flu injection when I was in boot camp.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. So my expectation, thus my planning for the future, is certainly shortened up. Certainly a different perspective on the time remaining. But you know what? It isn't about how long I'm going to live. That's part of it. But it also, to turn it around, the 180, the patch 180, the diagnoses that I've been handed, I mean, prostate you can deal with, but your heart, that's a whole other ballgame in terms of longevity. But you know what? I'm not concerned about longevity. It is the patch 180 to that diagnosis that tells me Jesus is coming for me very soon. I'm not talking about dying. I'm talking about his return for perfect justice. This is an indicator. You want to talk about a mark. This is an indicator where the Lord is saying to me, don't worry about your plans for the future. Don't worry about how long you're going to live, because I'm coming for you, otherwise no man would survive. And when I come for you, because I find you faithful, I'll deal with all those other idiots in the world and the judgment, the perfect justice that will be meted out by the Lord to them. But you are being taken care of. Kathleen is being taken care of. Our friends here are being taken care of by the Lord himself. So if my days have been medically shortened, who knows, maybe I could live for 10 years, if there were 10 years available. But there aren't. You see,
For any of us, right.
We hear
this is rolling out so fast that it can't help but be soon.
The Operation Warp Speed applied to the global population is manifesting because there is such short time. Satan knows he has but a short time. Everything else rolls out from that shortening of the time of Satan, because Jesus is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is going to come to an abrupt halt. When we hear of scientists and politicians and economists say, and heads of corporations say, well, in 10 years, in 15 years, in 2025, whatever it is that they're prognosticating that's going to be in place, that's going to manifest, that's going to resolve, we're going to achieve this in this year. No. No, they won't. We know through the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is very close to coming back. So as the evil becomes more apparent, not to say that it's more powerful, but more apparent because more people are possessed and the manifestations are increasing of those possessions in people, that alone are the markers along the roadway. They are the indicators as to how near Jesus' return to mete out perfect justice and to gather his faithful that he identifies. That's the patch 180 flip to the more evil that you are discerning through the Holy Spirit is more evidence to you of how soon Jesus Christ is returning.
Amen. Amen. I mean, we can literally look at Revelation and see where we are in the book. And, you know, each day, it's all, again, I go back to that picture that I posted in band of that African-American woman. She's bending over and she's looking, like she's looking down the street, and she says, and Jen sent this to me. She always sends the greatest funny things. But I should say the greatest and the funniest things. And she's looking over and she's saying, so what chapter of Revelation are we doing today?
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it is. We can look at it that way. And
wake up in the morning, say to the Lord, what chapter are we in? Did you turn a page?
So what are we going to do today?
Yeah.
You know, and
there's no doubt we are manifesting all of Revelation playing out right now.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my spirit.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. The world has never seen what is going on right now.
No. Yeah. Well, you know.
And again, I want to go back a few steps. You were mentioning various truth seekers and, you know, secular truth presenters, let's say. Maybe scientific, maybe medical, maybe something else. But you mentioned that they are devoid of the Holy Spirit. They're devoid of the message, the good news of the gospel. They're devoid of the insights and revelations that should be provided to them to augment, to even supplant their secular information. This is where our frustration lies when we see people who are putting out. We've highlighted Dr. Peter McCulloch, for example, I hold in high regard, but he doesn't present the gospel. He doesn't present the reason. He presents all of the medical, scientific, and we've presented that, what his message. That's all well and good, but what he lacks, and this is more profound than the secular information, is the ability to say, get right with God. If you haven't repented, you need to repent now. You need to have the Holy Spirit as I'm putting words in his mouth or in somebody else's mouth. You need to have the Holy Spirit as I do to understand not just scientifically what's going on, but to understand that we are in the times of the book of Revelation, to understand that Jesus Christ is coming back very, very soon. But if they're not equipped to do that because they're not saved, then it really doesn't matter what they reveal as a truth seeker that is secular information. It does not ultimately result in the salvation of souls.
My question is, who are they speaking to then?
I don't know.
If they're out there citing statistics and saying, well, you know, the world is at 50% vaccination now, and, you know, 70% of the U.S. is going to be vaccinated in July, who do they think that they're giving a message to? You know, they're saying, oh, we need to cite the Nuremberg laws.
And we need to take them to court.
And you know, time is running out. We need to fight. Who's going to fight? 70% of our country has already taken it. 50 going on, you know, targeted for 70. And the 30% of us that are left, 10% of you are secular, leaving 20% that are some mixture of so-called Christian. the world wouldn't be able to identify one from the other, or, you know, so the children of God aren't going to fight and go to Congress and say, give us our rights, because we're not of this world, and we know that this world has already capitulated to the demonic system. So who are you going to be encouraging? Are you just getting on there to talk for the sake of talking and to present an opposing view? If you're not going to speak to your faith, get out of the ring. Get out.
Get out
of the arena. You don't have a voice.
Yep.
If you're going to fight for Jesus Christ, then change your position and speak about it. Otherwise, shut up. Really?
Because
what are they going to do at this point?
There's no, mathematically, there is no ability to turn this around.
No.
Mathematically, because you're not going to find enough people to turn it around, because the majority's already been vaccinated.
That's
thus
it.
We are beyond the tipping point. That's the big picture from 144,000 foot on Patch Airlines. We are beyond the tipping point.
Right. It's sort of like arranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Sure is. Yep.
You know, and the ship's already half sunk.
Yep. This is not a message to generate fear. This is not to cause, you know, abject giving up.
No.
This is a time to reinforce your focus
mm-hmm.
in being in communication with our Lord.
Our live stream's offline.
Really?
Yeah.
Shows it's still running.
Mine says offline.
Refresh your screen.
Yeah.
It might have buffered out. Stand by.
I am.
Is it running?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Sometimes horrible lighting in here. You're mm-hmm. you're too light. I'm in the dark, and it's kind of foggy. Oh, well, at least they can listen.
And the camera's falling over again. All right, guys. Sorry, things are just...
Well, why don't I pray? It's 10 minutes till 9. Why don't I just pray
yep.
and...
Yep,
we'll, you know, guys, bear with us. We'll get it together.
It's just been one of those days. One of those days. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. Normally, none of this happens. You know, it took me 3 attempts just to get the live stream to start tonight. Just amazing. Okay, go ahead and pray.
All right.
I know it's crooked.
Focused over there.
I know it's crooked. That's all right. Here we go.
Lord, we thank you for this time tonight. We ask you to be with each and every one of our brothers and sisters that have joined us. We pray, Father, that you will bless us with your presence. Speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Empower us by that same Spirit. Jesus, we look forward to your return. We look forward to seeing justice, your sense of righteousness and justice prevail in this world. I am so sorry, Lord, for my part in adding to any type of dysfunction or corruption through my own personal sin. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for using swear words when I was angry at Anthony, for saying things that I really don't mean, but I let evil get the better of me and lashed out. I thank you, Lord, that you understand our shortcomings, but we need to confess them to you. And you are faithful and just and forgive us of our sins, and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray for healing in my household. I pray for my husband that he gets the answers that he needs from the urologist tomorrow. I pray for poor Downton, who you know is out there. He's so weak, Lord, and he's not eating or drinking anything.
Go ahead, just continue.
Anyway, so we pray, Lord, that you would just continue to touch and to heal our children, our families, that you would keep them strong in you. Those who haven't taken this vaccine, that you would just speak to their hearts. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. We pray that you will keep us so long as you want us to be able to come together and to lift you up and to hear from you and to share what you're showing your children and to encourage one another in our faith and give us direction on how we navigate our lives in this world. We will continue to do that so long as you keep the lines of communication open. It doesn't matter what Patreon, PayPal, Subscribestar, Vimeo, it doesn't matter. It's what you say, because what door you open, no man can close, and what door you close, no man can open. You are Lord of all, Lord. You're over all. Technology bows to you. I just thank you, Lord, and I just ask you to be with us this week, guiding us, protecting us, and healing us, and granting us wisdom as we make decisions that concern our lives and the lives of our family. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. You alone are holy and righteous. And Lord, you fight for us. You fight for us. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know what the problem is with that tonight. Anyway,
We've never had the camera do this. I'm not trying to make more out of it than it is. It may just simply be the fact that it's very hot, it's very humid tonight. It may be affecting the camera mount, and that's why it just continues to slip and fell over. I'm not going to make more of it than that, okay? But I apologize that this is amateur hour when it comes to the camera. Okay. We'll endeavor to do things better for the next live stream on Tuesday. But
next time, there's always hope for the next time.
You guys have been great.
We love you.
Put up with all of this.
I know it.
Lord willing, we'll be back together with you, 7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. Good night, and God bless you
Bye,
all.
Bye, guys.